Earth, sky.
Normally, diving on a coral reef is a spectacular thing. These are beautiful, vibrant communities. At the same time, you're seeing a very active system. When you dive on a reef that's bleached, it's frightening and very depressing. It's like suddenly walking out and having the entire forest dead. It just changes everything. Some of the fish even are swimming around looking stunned and confused.
You're listening to coral reef expert Mark Aiken, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Aiken is the coordinator of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Coral Reef Watch, which monitors coral reefs around the world. In 2010, the Coral Reef Watch warned of the potential for coral die-offs around the world. Earth Sky's Lindsay Patterson spoke with Aiken about why corals are at risk and the possible consequences.
The Coral Reef Watch recently announced some bad news about coral reefs around the world for the end of 2010. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, it's been a really bad year for coral reefs around the world. Major bleaching started in the Central Pacific in the early part of this year. Then there was bleaching in the Indian Ocean and especially Southeast Asia throughout May and June. It spread to bleaching that was seen in the Philippines, Palau, and Micronesia. And now the big concern is that we may be seeing some of the worst bleaching ever in the Caribbean later this year.
So is this unusual? Was 2010 an unusual year? Were ocean temperatures particularly high? I mean, what is happening to create such a dangerous situation in 2010 for coral reefs?
All throughout this year, temperatures have been above normal in the Caribbean, and this has led to a condition that's made them really susceptible to high temperatures in the summer. Climate change has set us up for a condition where it's much easier for coral reefs to bleach because the temperatures are already high, so any elevated temperatures can push corals beyond their limit. This year in particular, we have a problem because there's a large El Nino event that was going on late 2009 into 2010, and now it's switched into a La Nina. The Caribbean warms up in the second year of an El Nino. There are other areas like Palau that we worry about that may have more bleaching because of the La Nina.
Can you explain what effect does that El Nino, La Nina system have on ocean temperatures?
El Nino is a movement of warm water from where it normally sits in the Western Pacific across to the Central or Eastern Pacific. Some areas warm during an El Nino, some areas warm during a La Nina, and when you get a sequence like this, which we don't see very often, we saw it in 97 and 98, we're seeing it again now, where we go immediately from a strong, or at least moderately strong El Nino, directly into a La Nina, and that really exposes a lot of corals to high temperatures.
So what's actually going on here, and why do higher ocean temperatures cause coral reefs to turn white? What does that mean for the coral?
Well, if you imagine the children's game 20 questions, the first thing is animal, vegetable, or mineral. Well, in the case of a coral, they're all three. You have an animal, and living inside its tissues are microscopic algae that give them their food. They're acting just like the leaves on a tree do. And then because of that interaction of the food being provided by the algae and what the animal's doing, they create the mineral part, or the rock skeleton, which forms coral reefs. Well, when you have high temperatures in conjunction with normal high light conditions, the photosynthetic apparatus in the algae starts to break down, and it poisons the corals. This combination of high temperatures and light will actually cause the corals to expel the algae. They'll spit them out into the water. When they do this, they lose their color, they look white, which is why they're called bleached. If that persists for a long time, the corals starve to death, they're more susceptible to disease, and it can cause the corals to die. Brief bleaching is something the corals can recover from, but it still leaves them more susceptible to disease.
And can you describe the difference between visiting a thriving coral reef and one that's been bleached?
Well, normally diving on a coral reef is a spectacular thing. These are beautiful, vibrant communities. At the same time, you're seeing a very active system, things moving around, all kinds of interactions going on. So very active, but very much a serene sort of system. Everything feels natural. When you dive on a reef that's bleached, it's frightening and very depressing. It's like suddenly walking out and having the entire forest dead. It just changes everything. Some of the fish even are swimming around looking stunned and confused.
What percentage of the world's corals have undergone bleaching due to high ocean temperatures over the past decade, and what percentage may undergo bleaching this year?
Well, in 1997 and 99, that big El Nino and La Nina we had before, that was a record-setting event, and over 15% of the coral reefs around the world died. Now, we've had recovery since then. Some places were really starting to look good, and then along came this event. Other places, like the Caribbean, we had some parts of the Caribbean in 2005 where over 80% of the corals bleached and over 60% died. So, you know, that wasn't the entirety of the Caribbean. Those were the worst hit sites, but there was a lot of death of corals going on in 2005. Well, we just had that big event in 97, 98, 13 years ago. We then had the event in the Caribbean in 2005. Now again, we're seeing this in 2010. I don't really want to think about what those numbers might be. I'm hoping that it won't be nearly as bad. Only time will tell. But the problem is you get these events this quickly, after the other, and there really isn't time for the coral reefs to recover.
So why does it matter if corals are being bleached around the world? What difference does it make to people and the ecosystems that are around them?
Corals are a major source of livelihood for people, from fishing to tourism. They provide a lot of the protein that's required for people living along coastal environments. They provide breakwaters that reduce storm damage locally. And in addition to all of these things and all of the economic value, they're one of the most diverse resources, marine ecosystems in the world. They're often referred to as the rainforests of the sea, but that's really a bit of a misnomer. There's more diversity in coral reefs than in rainforests, so we ought to be calling rainforests the coral reefs of the land.
You've been listening to Mark Akin, coordinator of NOAA's Coral Reef Watch. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Jorge Salazar. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science. We're at earthsky.org.